to another off-season episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As sometimes, I am one half of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. I say sometimes because I'm usually one third. I've been a fourth a couple times and a fifth once this season. But today I am half. The other half is Walker Lott phoning in from, I almost said College Station, but the room tells me it's still Fort Worth, Texas. I'm calling in from Dallas, Texas, both from the Metroplex. Walker Lott, been a nice, restful offseason, kind of taking a bit of sabbatical here as I'm incredibly burnt out at the end of football season, but we are now back getting into our offseason content, which I'm very excited for. How have things been for you with the holiday season, and are you staying warm as we are getting basically frozen to death?
Dude, this week is going to be insane. Like for the people at home, I kind of live on a, not farm, I don't know the right term for it, but we have a couple acres now. And so we've been having to weatherproof the past couple days before the freeze and just be like, is everything going to be okay at the end of this week? Because this is insane. And of course, I went by the grocery store just to grab like utensils. And of course, Texans don't know how to act in this, when the weather hits below 40. And so half the stuff are already gone, which is of course insane, but life's good. People are good. I'm home for one more week before I head back to College Station. And this is kind of the, like you said, like we took a little bit of sabbatical, but we're trying to do something different this year. But we're trying to stay to every couple weeks, like get an episode out type of thing. And still stay in your feeds, help the algorithm love us a little bit more. And so it's good. Life's good. Somehow A&M basketball is good. We always make fun of it a little bit, but somehow A&M basketball is actually decent. I think we just moved up to number 10, Wes, in the nation this week. Shout out Buzz Williams. Never wanted to fire him. Shout out Wade Taylor with the worst shot selection sometimes of all time, but he puts up points. They're good defense. Shout out Salo. Shout out y'all. But Duke, how's Mr. Flagg and the Blue Devils doing these past couple days?
I will circle back on A&M quickly, just because I saw they were playing Texas, and I have to kind of explain this every time anyone asks, and I don't think I've explained it on the program before. Everyone calls me a bandwagon Duke fan. First of all, if we're taking bandwagon by the letter of the law, it's completely false. I have only rooted for Duke basketball since I was knee high to a grasshopper. My father, I don't even have to claim my dad for this. I was born in Durham and I was raised to be a Duke fan in basketball and A&M fan in football. It's very complicated. If you ever see me at a game, stop me and ask me how it works. I'll gladly map it all out for you. All that being said is I'm not an A&M fan in basketball. I'm a Duke fan in basketball, but I saw A&M was playing Texas and I flipped the game on and I was like, A&M is ranked number 13 in the country. Is this 13 in the state of Texas or the country? And apparently it was the country, and they beat Texas. And from what I understand is that washes away the game in Kyle Field.
Yeah, 100%.
We're even. We're 1-1. That's all that matters.
And volleyball beat them, right? Yeah, volleyball beat them.
Yeah, okay,
two,
never mind. So we're 2-1. We are, if you take out swimming and diving and things that are, never mind. We're a better athletics program than Texas. We'll beat them 100%. In baseball too, even with the nope, I'm not going to say that either. We respect head coaches across the country. That being said, question to me was regarding Duke basketball. And what I will say is I have never been more confident that a Duke team is going to be in the Final Four and potentially win the national championship as I am this year. Cooper Flagg is rounding into his own. What people don't understand about Cooper Flagg is he's not just a scorer. This dude impacts games at every single level. Like, I think he's averaging probably 3 or 4 assists per game, almost 10 rebounds. He dropped a 30 bomb on SMU and just curb stomped SMU. Duke won that game by like 30. I think the biggest, most telling sign is before we actually turn this into a college basketball podcast, which maybe we will at some point, but
March Madness right now, actually would be pretty fun. So we might.
It would be very fun. We'll have to get Ryan on and bring some OK State in here as well. But if you're a college basketball fan, and you've never been on the website KenPom.com, which is Ken Pomeroy's ranking systems, you are missing out on a ton of really cool analytics. Right now, Duke is number 2 in KenPom's rankings. However, the more interesting thing is their net rating is 35.29. The last time Duke's was that high was when right before Zion Williamson blew his shoe out against UNC, and that was the highest that team ever got. All that to being said is Duke's, if they don't win the national championship, I'm going to be disappointed. And that's a very scary place to be at.
Yeah.
It means unless they win the national championship, I'm going to end the season unhappy. We'll keep checking in periodically throughout these offseason episodes to see where my level of delusion is with
Yeah.
Duke. We play Pitt tomorrow, which I'm excited for. And then whenever we end up playing UNC, I'll get so nervous I'll probably throw up. Fun fact, I hate the University of North Carolina more than I hate Texas.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a very interesting. I keep up with college basketball very little, but I am rooting for your boy Cooper Flagg, because with all the injuries that the Mavs have right now, we're looking like we're going to go so far south, it's insane. And so we might be pushing for Mr. Flagg in the draft in this upcoming year. But we can do a little sports. By the way, guys, we're going to try to do a little bit more sports besides private school. We'll talk about private school stuff, rankings. The guy put out a couple, his rankings. So we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about transfer. We'll have the award show, but we're going to try to branch out a little bit. I think it's very interesting. The Mavs are in a rough spot. Shout out to the Thunder for not letting Ryan Schroeder be on this podcast today. He has a job, which sucks, but he does. And it doesn't get him on it. But anyways, besides that, NFL talk. I think the Lions are going to win it all. I'll put that as prediction going into playoffs. I think the Lions, I don't think the Chiefs, do you think the Chiefs could go all the way? Do you follow NFL at all?
Yeah, I absolutely think they will because Pat Mahomes has made a deal with Beelzebub. Dude, like I saw that stat where it's like teams to like fail to score how many points in however many games, and it's like they're all like 2-14, and the
Yeah.
Chiefs are like the best team in the NFL. I don't follow NFL football that much.
Now, me
I
either
just
this year.
know I just know that Pat Mahomes has made a deal with the devil and will continue to play in Super Bowl games until the end of time.
Yeah, this might be my first year that I didn't really follow the NFL as much, like crazy enough. Like, I still did. I watched a couple games here and there, but with I just knew the Cowboys weren't going to be good. And I know we're cursed as long as Jerry Jones is still in charge. And so, like, why would I watch? Like, like we're going to be cursed with him still there. What's the point of turning on the television and watching us lose or choke a game away? It's those things. Like, I don't know. I feel much better about the Cowboys because did you see the Chicago Bears are looking into hiring Mike McCarthy as their new head coach?
I saw that. I don't know why anyone in their right mind would do that.
Right? But very interesting. Very, very interesting. I think it's going to be the Lions Chiefs Super Bowl. And I do think the Lions do it this year. I think they're very good, especially if they can get David Montgomery back. So shout
I
out
hope
to
so.
former Aggie Dan Campbell.
The last thing I will add before we get into the Sportle or Sporkle or
Yeah.
whatever they're called quizzes is I had the pleasure of going to see the film A Complete Unknown, which is why the Bob Dylan record is shown in the background. Walker, I'm just gonna ask and see if you remember anything. Can you name me a single Bob Dylan song?
No, but like I could like sing it probably, but like, and you would, if you played it, it'd be like, that's Bob Dylan, but I couldn't name you Bob Dylan, if that makes
You
sense.
could, but you could name me like a few lyrics from a song. No.
Maybe, but like, I don't know.
Okay.
I if too much gun to my head, I don't think I could, and that's
We
disappointing,
I
but
okay I some I thought somebody named one the last because that was one of the records I pulled early on in the season.
right, no,
Anyways,
100%. But
that being said, is the craziest thing about that to me was again Bob Dylan wasn't a great like he wasn't a great singer. Like that's pretty widely accepted. He's a
right.
really zany guy, one of the better songwriters to ever do it. Not a great singer. What did surprise me is there are a couple of songs that Timothée Chalamet, who plays Dylan in the biop, did where Timothée Chalamet sings the songs better than Bob Dylan did.
Interesting.
That was intriguing. It's the main one is the duet with Joan Baez, and I forget who plays Joan Baez in the film, but it's the songs "It Ain't Me" and Timothée Chalamet. I listened to the Timothée Chalamet version almost more than Bob Dylan version.
Wow.
Don't know if that's heretical. That being said,
Was it a good movie?
yes, I like Bob Dylan a lot, which is why I'm very biased towards it. I also
Right.
watch like two movies a year, so every time I
You
see a
do.
movie, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I liked it a lot. I think it's worth seeing. If you don't know Bob Dylan, I still think it's worth seeing. It's a fun movie. If you just like Timothée Chalamet, good movie.
I've turned into a big movie guy, actually. And so, like, I think I've seen on my I have Letterboxd.
Oh
It's a
my
great
God.
app. I know. I'm so into it now, man. It's something in college I've got into. I've seen 26 movies in theater this year, I think.
Holy crap.
When it's usually, what happens is like, okay, I go, I record this and then like I edit it whatever like Wednesdays of the week, and like if I don't have any homework or anything to do on Thursday, I'm like, all right, I finished editing at 9. I have to wait to export it. Like I just added export. I'm like, I have to wait an hour and a half. Might as well go to the theater. And so I go watch a movie. That's usually
That
how it
math doesn't
happens.
really math though, because that's like a 3 hour commitment.
It's like two. Most movies are not 3 hours anymore. They're like
That's true, but I feel like
220.
they're more than two. They're more than two, and then the previews are like 45 minutes.
Look, it's the type of thing where you just get an excuse, and then you're like, okay, I'll just do it. You know what I
That's
mean?
fair.
So,
Yeah, I do need to see more movies. I'm like everyone that knows me knows I barely watch any movies.
yeah.
And I that maybe that's a New Year's resolution. Most
I
people,
was.
it's like work out, eat healthy. I'm going to go and consume more popcorn and watch more movies.
Yeah, Dune 2 is still my favorite movie of the year. I saw that twice in theaters. Unbelievable. Another Timothée Chalamet movie. But yeah, shout out to Chalamet. He knows what he's doing. But let's do the Sporkle now. And so what we're gonna do is I'm gonna make this a segment every episode we do. It's just like a one Sporkle quiz so people can see our ball knowledge. Is that basically that's basically what's gonna be the point of this. So, Wes, I have a couple quizzes. We're just gonna do one a day, and this is gonna be the one. It is every FBS college football team.
Oh,
So
crap.
it's going to be a lot. So Conference USA, Southeastern Conference, Big Ten, ACC. And so, yeah, there's not much more to say besides just we're just going to do it. And it's
Okay,
134.
the thing is, I might know more ACC teams than SEC teams because I've become a bigger
That's
Duke
fine.
basketball than A&M football fan in recent years. But that'll clean up some slack there. All right. Is this between the two of us or just me?
No, we're together.
Okay, good.
Absolutely together. All right. Can you hear me? By the way, is that
Yes,
still
I can hear you.
okay? Perfect. We're gonna do it like this and move the microphone out of the way. Perfect. All right. I'm gonna go, and then I'm gonna start with the Southeastern. And I'm just gonna rip these off, and then you'll add in ACC. How's that? Okay.
Got
So,
it. Go ahead.
A&M. All right. So Texas, A&M, TCU, Tech, Texas. Oh my goodness. Tech. Okay. OU, Oklahoma, O. KLAHOMA State. Okay, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Auburn,
Georgia.
Tennessee, GEO, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Southeastern, Missouri, Mizzou. That's they take Mizzou. But not OU. Penn State. I don't know why I said Penn State, but okay. Florida. Oh my goodness, Florida State. What other ones? Mississippi State. Miss State. Mrs. ISSI. PP. PPI. I guess that's Ole Miss. MISSI.
Yeah.
PPI State. Both Tennessee,
LSU.
LSU, Louisiana, IANA Tech, Tulane. I think those are all the Louisiana schools I know. Alabama. What other schools in the SEC?
We're missing out the SEC. We've got OU in Texas, got Mississippi State,
South
Mississippi.
Carolina,
Yeah.
South Carolina, Kentucky, Arkansas.
Yes.
Okay. ACC,
All
go.
right. So we got Florida State, Georgia Tech, Boston College. Yep.
Boston College.
Notre Dame. They might be. They're going to be independent in football, actually.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
Clemson.
Smart. Clemson.
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest.
NC State.
NC State. Okay.
Pittsburgh,
Hit
SMU,
SMU,
Virginia Tech,
Louisville, Virginia,
Virginia. Oh yeah, we're gonna get both of them.
Wake.
Yeah, I thought didn't we already get
Oh
Wake?
yeah, never mind.
We got Wake.
Rutgers.
Not in the ACC, but
Yeah,
yeah,
but it's there.
that's close. That counts.
Well, you think of that, I'm gonna do the other
There we
one.
go, Minnesota.
Ohio State, Michigan, Mich State, USC, UCLA, shout out Carson Gordon, Illinois. The other Indiana.
California and Stanford. I forgot they're in the ACC as well.
Cal, Stanford.
Who am I missing?
Who am I missing? Okay, so okay.
Who's Duke had trouble with in the past?
I don't know why I thought of Bowling Green, but I did. Pac-12 or
Oregon
Oregon,
State.
Oregon State.
Who's the other member of the Pac-2?
Oh my gosh, Washington State.
Ah,
State.
Wazoo.
Washington State. Oh, I said that right. Okay, sick. Air Force. Shout out Porter Nix. I think he transferred
He
though.
did.
Controversy. Okay. I'm gonna go to the Big Ten or Big 12. Colorado. Boise State. TCU, Baylor. Shout out Quinn Murphy. Arizona State, which they should have won anyways. That's targeting.
They should have. That, yeah.
Yes, it was. Texas. Tennessee State. Did I just is that Tennessee? Nope, not Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee. Tennessee. Boom.
Iowa State.
Iowa State. Baylor. What are teams in the Big Ten? Houston,
Kansas.
BYU, Kansas State. I'm blanking. Arkansas State. I'm trying to think of other state. Rice. UTEP. UTSA. Another
Texas, did we
state.
get Texas State?
No, we didn't. Texas State. Perfect. All right, what other teams? Texas State. Sam, is SFA on this? Nope. Sam Houston is now big time though.
Oh, ACU?
Tarleton is Tarleton State. Is it not? Is that how you spell
I don't
Tarleton?
think Tarleton is.
Well, I thought they moved to the D1 FCS, not
Is
FBS.
it Tarleton or Tar Elton?
No, it's FCS, not FBS. My apologies.
Okay. Oh, it's FBS. Yeah, so ACU's not on there.
Okay, so Oklahoma State, no other school there. Kansas State, Iowa State, Nebraska. What Wisconsin? Boom. All right, what other teams? Montana State is, I think that's FCS, but yeah.
Who am I missing in?
Washington State, USC, Cal, San, oh, the all the San Diego State, San Jose State, Hawaii, Florida. Okay, so like
Western Kentucky, USF. Oh, we got
Western
USF.
Kentucky.
Do we get North Texas?
No, good poll. North Texas.
Do we get FAU? Yeah, we got FAU.
FAU,
Memphis.
UCF, Memphis.
I'm pulling all the teams from our
Yeah.
NCAA 25
Yes,
dynasty.
100%, 100%. Oh, what's the one that's like the lowest rated?
Troy?
Good poll. No, the one that Southern Miss.
Yeah. Did we get Akron?
No. Miami of Ohio. Oh, Miami in general. Miami.
Yes, God, that was one of the ones I was forgetting.
Stanford.
There's
What's
one
that?
more ACC team. There's none in New
Syracuse.
York. Oh yeah, there. That's the one in New York. Jim
What's it?
Boeheim. Okay.
Iowa. IJ. What's a J team or I team?
James Madison, I think. Yeah, James Madison's FBS.
I think they're. Oh, nice job.
Yep, they are because Duke played them in the tournament.
Yep. Okay, so
Okay, I got to think of
Iowa.
Duke tournament teams now.
Yep. Iowa. We're almost at 100. I want to get to 100.
Creighton, does Creighton have football?
No.
No.
Okay, so Arkansas State, Missouri. No other team in Missouri. I'm going by state now. Louisiana State, Louisiana Cajuns, Tulane, Ole Miss. Mississippi State. There's another team. Oh, UAB. Is the what is the Citadel?
The Citadel, no, they're FCS.
Big Ten. Let's do the Big Ten. Big Ten, what are we
How many are
missing?
missing out of the Big Ten? A few.
There's no cube. Temple. Temple somewhere. Okay. I know it's Colorado State.
Oh.
Okay, C. T. U. Utah. Okay. It's a C. Colorado, Central Florida, Cincinnati.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
Cincinnati. How do you spell Cincinnati?
Oh.
Cincinnati. Boom. Okay. The Big 12 is done. Okay. Is there any other Ohio State, Cincinnati, Miami of Ohio? I think we're out of Ohio teams.
P, Q, or R in the Big Ten.
I want to get to 100. Okay.
Is Princeton on this list by are the Ivy Leagues FBS?
Harvard. No.
No. Oh,
Okay.
this is football. Well, Harvard plays football.
Yale? No.
No.
Okay, we have 40 seconds. We got to get one more.
Who all do I play in conference in my conference?
10. The LMNO, Oregon State, nah. I don't know. I think I'm.
I'm drawing a blank.
Right, we give up. Purdue,
Purdue, Maryland, and Northwestern. I mean,
the ones that don't.
yeah.
Yeah, but Kennesaw State, that was the one I was talking about, the worst rated team. That's what I was talking about.
Oh yeah. Here, go down to the AAC. Let me see what I missed. Charlotte, East Carolina, and Tulsa. Yeah, I play pretty much all of them yearly in my dynasty. That's embarrassing.
Dang it.
Okay, well.
That was fun.
That was fun. Not getting to 100, kind of stinks. My brain just kind of went blank after about 5 minutes there, but that was fun. I do enjoy doing these.
All right. So I guess we'll wrap it up with graphic talks. How's that? Little rankings.
I think that's smart. Yeah, no, as always, the guy at Texas Private School Football Guy fantastically has released some more rounds of rankings for 26 and 27, which is now hard to believe. Those are rising juniors and seniors, but we'll start with the quarterback rankings. If I can, get this a little bit bigger on my computer, that's fine. I can read this. So I'll go through, I'll name the top five, we'll talk about that, then maybe expand the conversation a little farther if needed. So for the class of 27, which are rising juniors, number one, we got Rogan Parson of Antonian. Number two, we've got Jack Devine of Regents. Number three, we've got,
Okay,
hang on, I,
you want me to do it? Okay.
yeah, you
Rogan
got it.
Parson of Antonian Prep, Jack Devine of Austin Regents at number two. Number three is Grant Sweeney at TMI. Number four is Crawford Moffett at Hyde Park. And number five is Brody Bartee from Bel Air Episcopal.
All right, so I'm trying to think Walker. All of these guys are in the South. So you have had eyes on more of these guys than I've
This is
had. So
true.
anything stand out to this crop of guys to you?
Well, it's honestly who's staying, because Grant Sweeney has officially announced he put in his Instagram bio the other day, and he told us that he was leaving TMI Episcopal, going public in Houston. So best of luck to him. So he's off the board. I don't know if I'll cut this, but there's rumors that Brody Bartee will also be on its way out. So that's another top five quarterback in 27. A class that we've been raving about has been hit in the head before his next season even started, right? So Brody Bartee's out, Grant Sweeney's out. But I still think there's really good names on this. We talked about Rogan Parson and Jack Devine, 1A, 1B, of like, who do you even put number one, because of course I think Divine offers more with his legs, the more dual threat. But in the pocket, there's not a better passer, honestly, maybe in TXPS now with that 25 class leaving, besides like Quinn Murphy, with whatever, and Rogan Parson. So that's a big name. I think both of them 1A, 1B. I maybe I don't know who I'd lean which way. I know I've said I think Rogan Parson other times this season. I've said Jack Devine. I don't know, man. But I love Crawford Moffett. I think he's a good player. I like the future of Nico Anderson. I think he's gonna be good. Pierce Jacobson at number 8. People raved all about him, about how good he is. Cooper Murr, even in Division 4, he was the best quarterback in Division 4 this past year. Well deserved. And yeah, I think that's really it, man. I don't. Colson Collins good. We've heard good things about Brady Joseph as well. Going down the list, who else? There's some other names on this list I just don't know much about. You could talk about R.J. Evans though. You loved R.J. Evans after watching him at Houston
That's
Christian.
what I was about to say is going like after watching the TVS game, I was kind of tentative. Like he was good in spots, but there were spots we could obviously improve. And also the whoever took that picture of RJ Evans is quite a good photographer, I will say. But basically, yeah, I mean, I think RJ Evans is incredibly talented, and that's what I really took away. He's one of the main reasons that they won that SPC 3A championship game. I remember I was on the sideline. And I forget who it was. I apologize for forgetting. But one of the Houston Christian, either ex-players or fans or somebody, came up to me and was like, you're going to learn that RJ is the real deal. And I'm like, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think he's good, but I mean, I think there's aspects he can improve upon. And then he went off for like 3 touchdowns, really led them to win the game. They were like, told you so. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But all that being said, is his ability to get plays done, whether it's with his hand or not, obviously his hand, he's throwing the ball, whether it's through the air, on the ground, it's cliche, but he really is a dual threat in every sense of the word. And the program is very lucky to have a guy like him around. That being said, pretty much the vast
Yeah.
majority of these guys are all
They're sophomores.
They're sophomores and they're from the South. Seeing Del Store from Paris there is interesting because I've never watched Del Store play a snap of varsity football because there's a man named Sawyer Anderson there.
Yeah.
But that'll be an interesting break to
He
see,
has to be the younger. We've talked about it on the space, like a space like months back now, but like he must be the younger brother Brennan Store, who was the Highland Park quarterback a while back. Who I think he went Division One, but I can't forget where. So that's interesting. Maybe he's gonna be the guy, but I think knowing Novikov, he'll have his guy. It's just it depends on who it is. I don't know. I don't if it is Store, that's awesome. If not, it's gonna be interesting to see who brings in. But look at the 26 list a little bit. Quinn, I'll read the top five: Quinn Murphy, Liberty Christian, Keyshawn Henderson from LCCS, or LSSSS, Santi Fernandez, Cannon Toon, Luke Glass. All are great names. I think Quinn Murphy undoubtedly has the number one spot in that class. Keyshawn Henderson, we don't know much about him going to Houston, but Houston wants him as a quarterback, which I think that's why he kind of wanted to commit there. So good for him. Santi Fernandez, Cannon Toon, dude, we talked about it. That will be the biggest debate. I'll say some other things. I like Luke Glass there. He deserves to be there. Braden Jennings is probably the best underrated prospect in all of TXPS for how good he is stat-wise every year. His just team didn't have the wins this year to pull it out, which is interesting. But Gigliotis is a solid quarterback as well. Cisneros, Gaitán, people love Isaiah Gaitán from Cornerstone, from what I've heard. Luke Lawrence was solid when I saw him. Shea Quinn. Jason Fleming was good in his first kind of true year playing football. Timothy Carter at Kip Sunnyside. And there's some other names down the line. Timmy Wright, Braden Dawson didn't get much to playing time because he was hurt. It's a good list. 26 is not, I don't think it's the 25 list of quarterbacks, no doubt. But I still think it's a really good list of quarterbacks for sure. And Wes, I'll leave it with you. Santi Fernandez, Cannon Toon, who would you want manning the ship for you?
if you put a gun to my head and ask that question, I think I'd die.
Right.
It's hard to pick against Santi whenever he's as physically impressive as he is. That dude is
Yeah.
like a solid, like, what do you think? Like 6'3", 205, like maybe 210. Like
Yeah.
he is stout. And for him to be able to run as well as he does, as well as pass at that weight, I mean, it's the we knew it from when the second we saw him as a freshman at John Cooper. We just knew it. In the same vein, while Cannon Toon, like, he's physically impressive, obviously not as much as Santi, but I can't think of a better playmaker in all of TXPS than Cannon Toon. Like, whenever the game's on the line, you need somebody to have the ball in his hands. Cannon Toon has pretty much proved if it's anyone, it's him. Another thing that's interesting to me is I think there's a pretty steep divide between, five and the rest of this list. I think guys like Braden Jennings and Giglut are good, but I think, from Quinn Murphy to Anderson to Fernandez to Toon to Luke Glass, those are like your elite kind of crop of guys. Everyone else is good. And I think guys like Luke Lawrence, I think Luke Lawrence probably has the highest potential to shoot up this list. I mean, I think he's proved to be good, and I think a good senior season can really, really do good things for him. Last thing I'll leave it off is at number 30, we got Manny Mizer from Tyler All Saints. I've had the pleasure of helping train Manny a couple years ago, and not just because of that, but I do think 30 is too low. I think Manny is an impressive prospect. I just not to mince words, there's nothing around him. There is nothing around him at Tyler All Saints. I do think that he's a good looking prospect and should get more eyes. But that being said, it's my thoughts on the rising senior quarterbacks, which is crazy to say because these kids were in eighth grade when we started this.
Yeah, 100%. Going
Seventh,
to offensive,
technically.
it's. I remember hearing about Cannon Toon when he was a freshman at was playing receiver. You know what I mean?
I
So it's
remember
crazy.
watching him.
Yeah, exactly. So crazy now. Going to offensive line 26. This is a deep class in my opinion. I think there's a lot of good names on here. Rowdy Pierce is the guy's number one for a while now, and I think he really likes him. I haven't watched the tape yet. We're doing we'll talk about the award show at the end. But the award show, we're going to be doing Offensive Lineman of the Year. Rowdy will definitely have his name in the hat. Caleb Kozalski has had a great year. Hunter Caldwell was a guy that kind of replaced the really good offensive line last year for Parrish and pretty much dominated made first team All State. Drew Edmonds was a guy who was hurt this year for All Saints, but he's going to come back with a vengeance next year, be probably the main dude on that offensive line, which is going to be interesting to watch. Isaiah Broaden West was the guy at State for Second Baptist that we saw that was like played both sides of the ball, mainly D tackle, and was like, that kid's a monster. He moves really well for his size. I think he, on this list, I think he has the most D1 potential because no one should be moving that big. At that fast at that size. So getting to be interesting to watch. I want to shout out my A or SES guy, Griffin Blocker. Guy came over from Benbrook a couple years ago. And dude, watch the film, man. He's impressive. We got a he I'll say it, Wes. I'll say it. He might be better than me back in the day. I might have to say that. But
How humble.
I know, honestly. But no, seriously, putting that aside because he absolutely is. He's a dominant force on the field in a team and in a district, right, where it's All Saints, All Saints, All Saints. They got him first team all district, which is impressive to say. So he has a bright future ahead of him. I like some other guys, Andrew Locke, Gavin Lavelle, Eric Adcock. I like him. This is a good list, man. This is a deep list. I really like it. I think this is a good list. Good names on the list. I gotta shout out the big boys because they don't get love, and I never did back in the day. So I gotta give love in return. So I know you're not gonna really say
You know,
much.
no. Here's the
What?
thing, and I've said on
What?
this for a long time, and we even said it in high school, is I've come away from this now because doing the stats and stuff, offensive linemen don't actually, have there's besides
No.
pancakes, which is an unofficial stat, they don't get their names in the paper a whole lot.
No.
But in high school, like I feel like we said so much that the linemen are the unsung heroes and they don't get it. We got to
True.
give them more credit. I feel like that, like it was a running joke that's like we give them more credit than we give the skill players because of the flip side of everything.
That's somewhat, yes. I think we do a good job, but in high school, you did not. Your coaches did because they knew it
Oh
was
no.
make or break. But like
No,
in
yeah,
high
that it was a
school, it
running
was the
joke between like
quarterback.
the
It
it was a
was,
running joke with the skill players, and it was
yeah,
like
of
we
course it
say so
was.
much that they don't get any credit that like we're elevating them beyond anyone else on this team. Now, granted, we had a really good offensive line too, and I was a sophomore. That's where most of it came from. It was just really funny because we said so many times like these guys don't get any credit, and we're looking around, we're like, that's all we do is credit the linemen. It's
Look,
just,
in my
I
point
think
of
it's
view, you
funny.
didn't get much love in the lineman unless your name was called if you were wrong. Like if he
Correct.
messed up. So that's the issue with there. But I agree with you. But that's definitely a stigma around your skill players. Try to not be biased, Wes. Like don't
Oh
have
yeah,
that
no. I'm
skill position
absolutely
bias.
biased. The main thing I can say about myself on this program is I come by my biases honestly. I will never shy away from them.
That is
But
true.
my main comment from this is death, taxes, and Brooke Hill getting some 6'4", 330-pound kid from a country I can't pronounce with a name that I can't pronounce. Shout out to Emily Turkkinen. I think
That's a
that's pretty
great
easy.
try.
Walker, you want to take a wild guess where he's from? Because I still haven't figured it out.
Turkinen. I'm gonna say a Norwegian, and I'm gonna say
Well, it looks like
or
it.
Finnish. Finnish? Maybe Finnish?
He's playing a team called the Seinäjoki Crocodiles with a bunch of like hyphens over letters that I don't know where they
Yeah.
go. The Helsinki. Oh wait, where's Helsinki? I think it's Finland. Here, let me see.
Well, just go like this. Go to junior season.
Helsinki. Yeah, Helsinki is the capital of Finland. So I think, I
Boom,
mean,
boom, boom.
if he's finished playing another Finnish team, then yeah, that's
Boom.
interesting.
Thank you.
That being
Go.
said, I didn't. I was trying to watch some of his film while you were talking and got to the first half of the first play. Didn't see anything. But 6'4", 320 is very impressive. If he can move well, that's great. But it's just always funny because we'd always like look up in the middle of class. I remember the Instagram account like by heart. It's called Gridiron Imports, and like there were like several times like in like February or March, we'd be like,
Yeah.
Brooke Hill just had eight guys from Norway transfer in and like
Yeah.
three from Austria. Shout out Konstantin Krasser. I wonder where that guy is. But that being said,
He's in
yeah,
the basement.
that's the 26 offensive line.
Yeah, no, that's I remember hearing about Tobias Braun. Remember that name?
He went to Ole Miss, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I forget where he is now, but I remember seeing that on the socials, and I remember texting my coach to be like, because I found out about him before anyone else, and I texted my coach to say, hey, they have this big offensive lineman that transferred in. I don't know how worried we should be, but he's massive. And then I heard Colin Griffin transferred in as well, and I was like, hey, we should worry about this guy. And he rushed for like 300 probably on us that game one of the season. So
Yeah,
good
Kalon
times.
Griffin tore us up in the first half because for some reason our linebackers coach told the linebackers to cross read the running back and the
Interesting.
quarterback, and we had an injured linebacker who kind of served as the quasi coach who was a year below us, came in at halftime. He's like, "What are y'all doing?" And they were like, "Well, coach so and so told us to cross read." He's like, "Stop doing that." We gave up like 3 points in the second half. It was also a
That's
torrential
good.
downpour.
Yeah.
For context, Tobias Braun now plays for Arkansas State.
That makes sense. Good for him. Going to the 27 list, Semaan Johnson. He has NFL I think ties. He is offered by North Texas, it looks like. This kid is going to be very good. 6'6", 275. He was hurt in the game I was at. But man, is he good. He has all the tools and intangible, the length, the bend, like everything you want in an offensive lineman in TXPS. He has a bright future ahead of him. He is the pinnacle of to in 2027, no doubt. Bright future ahead of him. It's just going to be interesting to see who is the head coaching, who's coaching him this upcoming fall. Kenneth Smith from Prestonwood, just another big guy from Prestonwood who is really good at the game of football. This is a cycle that continues for the end of time over there at Prestonwood. Don't know much about him, but that's how it is. Not much more to say. I know Barrett Bray played a lot for All Saints this year because if they just rotate offensive linemen, which is a luxury to have. But not much known about the other guys. We'll talk more about them as I knew more about them. But yeah, it's really up on offensive lineman. You want to go just move on, or you have anything to say?
No, I mean, the only thing is Landon Crosby is a solid prospect for Fort Bend Christian, but he transferred to Foster. Yeah, I was really just going to hit on the fact that how many talented linemen Prestonwood has that are returning. That's going to be a big point of emphasis, especially in our previews when we're looking at all these teams. Like, yeah, Liberty and Parrish have been the top dogs for a while. And Prestonwood's been right there, but we got to see, like, Prestonwood brings quarterback, running back, big portion of their offensive line, Matthew McClain, French Love, almost everyone's coming back. That's going to be a really interesting point to talk about with
The
your previews.
I really want to say, like, well, this, you know what? I'm gonna use this as an Instagram story about like what this episode is. I think it's gonna be the transfer portal has to be kind to both Parrish and Liberty, or I think Parrish or I think or I think Plano Prestonwood are the clear number one favorites going into next year. Thoughts?
I completely agree with that. My take a step beyond that and say, how easy is that going to be for both squads? Liberty, I assume, easy.
Yes.
I mean, you got Jason Witten there. It's really not a question. Parrish, I assume, it's not like they didn't go out. Well, I say that they got Nick Wheeler in, which is a huge deal, and they got Lockley in and some other good linemen. I mean, they'll obviously bring guys in.
Yeah. They transferred in what? Their whole offensive line, Wheeler.
And to
That's
be fair, even though we didn't talk about him a bunch, an underrated storyline was the fact that they had to replace one of the best units we've ever seen in the
no,
sport in that
100%.
dominant offensive line.
Yeah.
The fact they had to replace the entire thing, it's
Yeah.
not like we said they were elite, but to be even functional was
Yeah.
very impressive on Coach
100%.
Novikov and the staff.
Very, very good job. Moving on. All right, moving on to DBs. We'll go to the 26 list. I think this is very interesting because 25 was a really good list, if I remember correctly. 26 has some dudes. I like his support of Evan Houston. I've raved about him at a 6'3 corner. I think his future is at safety, but long link, he can do everything. Rodney Thomas has a bright future ahead of him over there at Baylor Episcopal. I think he has everything you kind of want in a player. Speed, athleticism, high at length, all of the jazz. Matthew McClain is a great receiver, but number four, I'll let you talk about that. Julian Mayfield was great. Brady Robinson, do it all. Adam Vessel, love him as well. I think he's a great player. I've heard good things about Cesar Gutierrez, about Midland Christian. Going down the list, JJ Costa is number 17. I know he's 5'8", but he was dominating that state game, and he's well deserved to be that high on the list. Very good player. I'll talk about this. Rome Stanford, way too low, in my opinion. Number nine, he's a top five corner, top five DB, no doubt. You put him on the field, he'll make plays. He has athleticism. You saw it at the retreat where he has the build to just lock you down, and that's just kind of what he does. So I think he needs to be higher, just truly. Blake Hamilton's a great corner. Who else? Who else do I want to talk about? I'll let you talk about some other guys. But I'll say this to end it here. Shout out to Braxton Smith from South Christian. But shout out to our intern, Jacob Garcia, for making number 34 on the list over his teammate,
Oh.
Montrezl Patino. So that might have been higher than West back in the day on the DB list.
Yeah,
So.
I'm trying to think realistically. I think I'd be higher, especially with my junior year tape, because I had like 100 tackles and a couple picks.
Wow.
I'm not cracking the first slide, and probably the second
No.
slide either. But
He
I
put
don't know.
I
Maybe body slamming Maurice Washington would help if he didn't
Yeah.
look at the clip where I got hurdled.
It's a true point. No, I was I talking to the guy the other day, like a couple months ago. He found his old lists and he found mine and he was like, "I put you way too low. I apologize." And I was like, "You know, back in the day, it hurt me, but like, who cares now?" But like, because of course it did, right? Be like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm okay, right? I thought, but I guess I was
I'll be
awful.
honest, I remember seeing his rankings back in the day, like team rankings. I don't think I ever remembered like player rankings back in the day.
It was the do you remember the all red sheets with just the white names? Do you remember those?
Wasn't
No.
well, I didn't follow that closely.
Wow.
I just remember seeing like the little just like the top 10 graphics, and I was always so hyped when I saw like Grace in like the top 10 of Taps D2, and I never really stepped back to realize this. There's not that many teams in Taps D2. Like, it's not
True.
that hard to get top 10.
That's true. Overall, I think it's a good list. You want to talk about your guys, Matthew McClain, Julian Mayfield at all?
The main thing is, yeah, Juju Mayfield's obviously an incredibly good prospect.
Yeah.
Matthew McClain is hilarious on the DB list, not because he doesn't deserve to be there, but because he's statistically the best receiver in Taps, and then turn around, he's also a top five defensive back at the highest level.
Yeah.
I haven't seen his film. And I remember I saw a lot of Enzo in the back end. Well, Enzo's a senior, so obviously not gonna be in the 26th list, but just to have guys of that caliber be that elite at one position and also going both ways, you're
Yeah.
seeing a theme here is that Prestonwood is going to be a team to watch next year. We talk about, Liberty and Parrish getting guys in. Prestonwood will also bring more people in. D1's gonna be fun.
Yeah, this is the thing where, they brought in David Madison last year. You didn't know much about some of the offensive linemen. Lou Glass was there and, he's been through the program, but it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to bring in a couple other guys to replace an Enzo Bingham type of player. He's going to be a guy you replace, and you're going to have to replace a lockdown corner like David Madison. But this is just turning into a Plano Prestonwood podcast a little bit. But yeah, they're going to bring in guys. Prestonwood is not gonna shy away from that fact, especially in their area. So,
I'm gonna miss watching David Madison and Jalen Pyle go at it.
yeah.
That was such a fun. That's probably the most fun one-on-one matchup I've ever seen in my life.
We'll have to think about that. That long. That's another episode. Because I think
That is.
also Brady Janusik, Jalen Pyle, when Pyle played DB, like having that matchup, that was fun. Even though Brady honestly got the best of it most times. But overall, I think it's a good list. I think Drew Novi as well from Austin Regents, first team all state DB this year in D2 was awesome this year. I think he has a bright future ahead of him. Going to 27, I mean Cooper Wedden, number one, bar none. There's not much to discuss. Caleb Cruz is an interesting one. A new transfer that's going to start this spring over there at Midland Christian. They are getting the Permian transfers like it's nothing over there. From what I've heard, he has a Division One offer to UTEP, a big name, one of the best DBs in all of that, in all of West Texas. So that's a big name. They always get the big boys. The question over there at Midland, and we could talk about them for a second. Midland is an interesting one because they have names. They're going to have Case Cole back, I believe. I could be wrong about that. They'll have Cesar Gutierrez. They'll have Rowdy Pierce. Boston Rodriguez. Is he a senior? No, he's a junior. I think he's a 26. So they have guys. They have pieces that are going to be really good. They're going to have to find a quarterback. Like, that's it because Avery Morgan's finally gone. I don't know who's going to run that program. Like,
Boston Rodriguez is 25.
wow. Okay. Boston is
I didn't
gone
even
then.
like I
That's
thought it
crazy.
sounded funny when I heard it, but yeah, no,
Right.
he's gone.
That's a whole new team, man. And is Case Cole a senior? Can you tell me that? Because that
I
was their
think so. I
main.
will look.
Brady Young, the linebacker, is a junior. I know that for a fact. So they have pieces. They're going to be good.
Case Cole's a senior.
Okay. So a lot of their weapons on offense are gone. They need to replace those weapons. So that's going to be the interesting part. Who replaces it? Who can they get a quarterback? Is it a young guy coming up the ranks? Or is it a transfer from one of the Midland schools around that area? That's going to be the question. They haven't had a good quarterback since Peyton Powell. Is that a good, I think, right?
River.
Oh, yeah, never mind. River. Ooh, wee. I almost went bad there. River, yes, most definitely. So River was great too. And so since 22, 21, they haven't had a really good quarterback. So they need to kind of revamp that going into the next year. But overall, there's a lot of young guys on this list that I don't know much about. We'll know much, much more about them this year. So I'm not gonna like say oh, good player when I don't know much about them, right? But I want to say shout out to Jackson Coleman for number three spot. From what I heard from the guy, his tape is electric. And watching it this afternoon, I agree with him. I watched him against St. Pius this year. He was phenomenal then. I think he has a bright future. They've always had good DBs like Lou Lamar. I think he's kind of in that next, like I'm the next dude up in that scenario. But Amari Barthe was the guy who was on the other side of Caden Richardson this year. He's going to be really good. I think he has all the tools he can be. He's already at six or what is that? 5'10", but he plays longer than he does or what he is. So I think he's going to be a good dude. I'll let you talk about Corian Gray a little bit, Tucker Brown. Ryan Powers, I think he's a little low. I know he's more of a safety, but he is 6'3", long, lanky safety that made plays both games I've watched him this year. I think he has a bright future ahead of him at All Saints. Other guys, Braylon Compton's not bad. I don't know much more about any of the guys. Shout out Reed Jackson, was a great player at Brazos Christian this year. And I'm going to stop. Oh, no, here's a guy. Lincoln McCamey. He is number 27. He was really good every time I watched him at a
He
state game.
cracked the absolute Jesus out of a kid.
And then we're think about it in the state game. He made play after play where we were even
I
thinking about
didn't see
him.
this tight game.
Duh. Okay, then never mind. In the state game, bro, he was making play after play, like big time PBUs and tackles, and like we were even talking about him maybe being like a defensive player of the game nominee for as a sophomore. So I think he's a little ro I think he's very low, to be
He's
honest.
27?
He's a 27. He started at Liberty. That should make you automatically higher. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, I get it. And here's what I will say is like the guy knows immensely more about this kind of stuff than we do. I'm
yes.
not the biggest like recruiting ranking person on the planet, as is evident. But dude, McKay being at 27 is kind of we might have to find some rationale for that. But
Yeah.
maybe that's a lot of that's just what me seeing one clip of him cracking the crap out of that dude. But also in the same vein, I've said it a million times this season. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but some guys just have it.
Yeah.
McKamey has it. I can't tell you what it is, but you know it when you see it. So.
Yeah, I think he absolutely does. I there's some other names that we're gonna hear more about as the weeks go on. I've heard a lot of good things about Duke Strain, number 16 Strain. It's they're sophomores. They have two more years. We'll talk more about them as the years go on. But I think it's a good group. It's a solid group. Good names. And as we all know, more and more players will join as the years go on.
Definitely so. I am going to hit on something interesting with
Yeah.
Corey and Gray. His Twitter's private, so I can't see anything from there. I didn't hear a whole lot from him this season.
Yeah.
I went to his huddle. The most recent highlight I see is from a year ago in 2023 when he had a great season. Whenever I watched him, he caught fire as a freshman. Looking at his stats on Max Preps, I want to say he was probably, it seems like he was injured.
Yeah.
The guy's got him ranked pretty highly. I'm sure he found film there some way. I would like to know like if he was injured or something, because that's a kid that I like as a freshman I put tabs on. Like he again, does a kid have it? Corey and Gray has it. And that's a big dude to watch at Frisco Legacy. And also Tucker Brown. Both Tucker and Harden are great players. In that back end, it's stereotypical talking about a white DB, but they're very smart players. I hate saying that because it's feeding into the stereotype, but if you watch them play defense, they know what's going on at all times. They're almost acting kind of as captains of the defense on the back end, and it takes me back to one of the main way that First Baptist was able to beat Grace is they basically just played cover zero and sent so much pressure Grace couldn't run. And that was because of guys like Tucker
Yeah.
Brown and Harden Brown being able to lock down their respective positions. Now, no disrespect to the Grace receivers, but they weren't Jalen Pyle or anything, but
Right.
a D4 team with guys like that. And that's why you see a D4 defensive back, crack the top 15. All that being said, I love Tucker Brown getting his flowers that high. Corey and Gray, I want to see more stuff on. Yeah, that kind of rounds that out. What I
I
will
want what.
say is I want to you piqued my interest with the Midland conversation, because my initial thought was going to be, especially with Grace playing them really closely at home, was that I just don't think like in D2 they're ever going to be serious contenders in the next few years. But I say that, and I was going to say in their district, but in their district, it really should be them and All Saints, Fourth Christian, they have an up year, because that district's All Saints, Midland, Fourth Christian, SCS, Faith, and Trinity Christian. And no disrespect to SCS, Faith, Trinity Christian, but they don't look like they're gonna be
Whoa.
good for a while. No, I said no disrespect.
No,
I said no disrespect.
I think the Fort Worth Christian talk is a little bit interesting because of how many transfers they're gonna get in. Like, it's just gonna happen, right? It was 15, 20 this year. If I was a betting man, as we all know, we're definitely not. They're gonna put another 20 into this school. They have to be doing something with these guys, right? Like, they have to be doing good, right? And the thing about it was supposedly they were supposed to win last year, and they didn't because it was a weird things ending, whatever. But Midland found a way to win that game. So, very
So here's
interesting.
my thing. If and again, I'm watching my step here. But if we're getting in trouble for conflicts directly related to how many kids we bring in, Is bringing in more kids going to fix that issue? Again,
That's a
it's
good point.
interesting. I'm not saying, and maybe that was a one-off thing, and everything they're doing with the 20 kids is squeaky clean. There's nothing Taps or anyone can throw the hammer at them for. It's a whole other episode talking about how Taps would
Well,
ever try to enforce the
yeah,
transfer
and
rule,
half of
but.
them are, all of them are coming from like the same schools like Grapevine and stuff, and that's because Grapevine needs to do better. To be honest, if Grapevine's a better school, this doesn't happen. But Grapevine Faith, this is what I mean. Which it's gonna be interesting under the new hire. I do like the DC hire or the OC hire. The guy came from Parrish. He's now the recruiting coordinator there. If you're under the Novikov pipeline tree of coaching. I trust you. You know what I mean? So I think that's a really good hire. So interesting there. But yeah, if they're all, it's the type of thing where, like, hey, you're my friend. We're all at the same school. We all want to transfer together. There's nothing really you can do about that. Like, that's just like, hey, let's go transfer to a new school together, you know? So we could talk about the Midland thing for a second, but talking about the DB list, one last question for you is how good can Cooper Witten be? Because he is going to be the star of this defense next year. There's a lot of 25s that are on that defense, including his brother, who was, big time playmaker, Maddox Sakiri, Nick Blevins, Brady Janusek. All those 25s are gone. I truly think with his intangibles, he already looks like a senior. The IQ is there, the athleticism is there. I think he has all the tools and intangibles to be a high four star, even maybe a five star. I know we have this is why I wanted to bring it up because we kind of debate that. I think he has it all to be the one of the biggest prospects in the nation. I think 247 has him as like the number one safety in the 27 class, I think, if you want to look that up for me. I just don't know what you want more in a defensive back. He's a safety at the next level. He might, honestly, he could move to linebacker. That's the true thing where he can move and transition to linebacker because
He's
he's
gonna
that.
have to get bigger than 205.
Well, yeah, but he can, if he's up to 215, 220, he's only a sophomore, Wes. Like, he has so
That
much
is
more,
crazy.
you know what I mean? He has so much more room to grow and increase. Like, he has this much of like just ball IQ as a sophomore. The sky's the limit with the kid.
Yeah, no, to back your stats up, yeah, they basically got him as the 25th ranked national recruit, the number one safety, and the number five recruit in the state. It's just that, again, I want to say, from the second I watched Cooper Witten as a freshman, I was like, this kid is legit. And shout out to Hogan Nelson for tipping us off to him before he even played a snap of varsity football. But it's just like, five-star athletes like are unicorns. Cooper Witten is very, very good. I don't know if I don't like it's and I don't know how to say this without not being disrespectful because Cooper Witten is incredible. It's just all I'm saying is I'm going to need to see another full season before I say he's like a five-star prospect. And this is from me saying I've never covered a five-star prospect. I've covered Carson Gordon wasn't a five-star prospect. I've covered some absolute freak athletes. Dante Lewis wasn't a five-star prospect. Sawyer Anderson wasn't. Jalen Pyles not. Jalen Pyles one of the best athletes in the country. I'm gonna need another season. I think low four-star would make sense to me. But once we're getting into unicorn territory, I'm going to need to see just like some insane stuff. Now, granted, this is coming from somebody I don't have a recruiting background. I intentionally don't really follow college football recruiting because I think some of it's gross. That's another story.
100%.
But that being said, could he get there? Absolutely. His father is Jason Witten. Let's not beat around the bush here.
And I think
This next
like
season will factor a lot into that, is what I'm
And
saying.
I think you can agree with this. I think you kind of start getting into your own as your junior year, right? You develop and you're kind of like more of an like a not just a teenager, but like like getting closer to an adult, like a young man. I don't know how to, like you're growing. Like your junior year is kind of when you start finally like putting everything together, right? So I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a testament to the junior year is going to be the thing where like they're going to base it off potential. That's where why he's so high. I do think he's at least a four star. I've covered so many big time players. I've covered the five stars with Tech Sags. I've seen the big names around the state for years. I've covered recruiting since 2018. Is it then that long, Wes? 20. When I started when I was a junior in high school. So yeah, class of 18. Gosh, I'm old. But I've seen the big names. I've seen the Kayvon Thibodeaux out of high school. I've seen the Brian Brzees. I've seen the Connor Wegmans, the K Club Knicks, the Quinn Ewers. I've seen the big names. I think he can be a big name. I truly think he can be. I think he has everything you want in a prospect to be there. I think what sets him apart, and I keep saying it over everyone, and I'll end it with this. I think his ball football IQ is what's going to set him apart. I truly think that's what's going to be an interesting thing. Because in the games he played, which he got hurt a couple games here and there this season, so it was a little harder to play all season. But in the games he played, I think he had every like an interception a game for a long time. Like he's that type of player, man. He's a superstar, and junior year is going to be the season to make him from like, oh yeah, he has the pedigree, he has the background, he has the coach, the experience like from his dad. Can he be someone? And I think the next season is going to be the team to. The next season is going to show that that he can truly be that. I think I'll end it with this. I think he's the best prospect in TXPS since Donovan Jackson and Tommy Brockmeyer. That's what I'll end it with.
Interesting. Preston Stone?
Now.
I'm just thinking of guys with high quality offers. Gunnell? Was Gunnell before Brockmeyer's?
Yes, class of 19.
Okay.
The
Well,
Brockmeyer and Donovan Jackson there was
there's
21.
21, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I think at the end of the day, we're both kind of roughly agreeing that we're going to see this season. This season will tell us like where Cooper Witten lands. And regardless of what he does this season, he's going to play Power Five football. It'll be interesting to see. That's why I'm more of a fan of covering the sport, because I think how you perform on the field really irons out where
Yeah.
you're going to end up
100%.
in relation to recruiting.
Yeah,
But
recruiting is like you said it. Recruiting is a weird situation, and that's why we toe the line of like we want to help you out, but we don't want to do it the wrong way. And so,
no.
because there's a lot of wrong ways out there, and parents,
I've seen more than a few of
yeah, parents, you, it's I don't know how y'all do it. I
I'm
truly
gonna say
don't
it
get
out
it.
loud. If you are a fan of a football team,
Yeah.
and you if you ever th and you have no connection to a player that's like thinking of coming to your school, don't tweet at them. It's odd. It's strange. I think it's weird. Now, granted, I'm some random 23-year-old kid on the internet screaming about private school football. You can do what you want. I will just think it's weird.
Did you have it when you were in your college days, by the way? Like when you were looking at colleges for football, did you ever have people in your DMs or like in your Twitter?
I had like a couple coaches from some of the worst
So you
schools in the
never, I
country.
had, when I posted my UMHB, like, hey, I got an offer from UMHB. I had fans in the comments from UMHB saying, come home to Belton. I'm not even lying. And the thing about it is, at that time, you're like, oh, snap, like people know who I am. That's kind of
That's pretty
sick.
badass. That's
It's kind
pretty
of cool,
good.
right? So it's kind of cool. So I can't hate on it too much,
That's
but
actually cool.
right.
I
That's
still
it's.
think it's weird. I still think it's weird to do that. I still think it's weird. But you were significantly more big time than I was. That actually didn't. In 4 years of doing this, I'd never heard that.
No, it's I'll send you the tweet later, but it's very interesting. I also want to shout out Jason Howell, my boss at the time. He quote tweeted one of my offers and saying like the typical like Southwest Christian offensive lineman gets offered. I thought that was so cool.
That's awesome.
And so I get it. That's kind of why we do it here and there. Like this guy gets offered because I think it's a really cool feeling. Like I don't like I we'll end it with this, and this is a discussion I always think people think we do. I don't miss playing football. Like I don't do this because I miss playing football. Like I don't.
I
I
do. I do personally.
really interesting.
No, no. That would be the saddest thing that would ever come out of my mouth.
Because I think probably some people are like, oh, they do it because they like they're stuck in high school. No, I don't miss playing football whatsoever. I look back on it with great memories and stuff. Like doing the recruiting was awesome. I remember just why we do this, what I always say is we want to give recognition. And that's the part we like is like getting these guys more recognition, letting y'all enjoy your high school years a little bit more because I think it's really cool. But like those like stuff like that, I look back on and be like, hey, that's really cool. I don't know why I'm saying this and going on this rant, but like I don't know. I just think those memories were really cool and stuff like that, where I was like, what? Like those small moments getting recruited are like really cool. And I think a lot of these kids are going through this process and are like, oh yeah, this is cool. Or like, and maybe from the outside looking in, you like, you're like, that's lame, whatever. But like in the moment when you're a 17-year-old kid, you're like, I got an offer and it's from XD3 school. Like that's sick. Like that's someone wants you to play football for them. And I think at the end of the day, that's awesome. So.
I completely agree with that. I specifically remember like there was a guy that used to coach at Grace who became like the OC at one of the programs in the state. They're like D3. I think they were D3 at the time. And he just like texted me randomly. I don't even know why he was watching my film. I didn't have any film. Or like, and it was probably put together wrong too. Actually, we'll get to that in a couple episodes. I think that'll be our next episode is a film review, just teasing that. But he's like texting me, he's like, hey, like, you want to come up for a visit? I was like, I feel like the coolest person on the planet. I was like, it feels awesome. That being said, I'll say in a similar vein, probably the best decision I ever made was not to pursue the one limited option I had with college football. But because I won't name the university, but it was in the middle of podunk nowhere, and I would have rode the bench for 4 years. And I just remember getting to the end of this, and I was just thinking, like, looking at it, because in high school, I was the kid that was like, football is, as weird as it is, I was like, football is everything. I was like, nothing else matters. And finally, I remember like getting to like that winter and kind of taking a step back after DC drummed us in the playoffs, and I was like, let's look at this realistically. I'm not going to the middle of Oklahoma. We're somewhere I'm not going to play. I'm going to try and enjoy 4 years of college. So I'm glad I did that.
That's true.
Is
Okay,
all
well,
I'll say.
I'll wrap up with this because it is by the time the next episode will be the award show. We'll talk about that. I'll do my last thing with that and then we'll wrap it up. By the time this episode, the next episode, we kind of do something like this, which I think was overall good. Definitely could be better of an episode, but it will be after the second official signing day. And I kind of want to give advice to the kids out there that are in the space of like, do I want to go play Division III football, Division II NAIA, or do I want to go to college, like at a big university, like normal kids do? Normal kids don't always have to go to college. That's not the thing. But private school, 95% of why you go to a private school is to get into a good school. Like that's the whole point, right? So, anyways, back to the thing. I think you really need to sit down and be like, do you love the game of football? Because when you go into the next level, it's not just a game you played at high school that you did with your friends. It's a business. Like it's a whole new, like your life is football. And you'll still have good times with your friends and stuff like that, but like your life is football. And you have to understand if you love the game that much, like, is that your mind made for that grind of a thing? Because most D3 schools are not in big cities, they're in small towns around the country. And are you ready for that life? Because that's a it's a it's a whole different atmosphere. So
You'll be lucky if they got a Sonic in that town.
no, but seriously, like go like I would say this to all these people. Go on your visits. There is nothing wrong with traveling the country and going on visits, having coaches be like, I want you to play football for us. I went on probably six recruiting visits during my time in my senior year because I didn't start getting recruited until my spring of my senior year, like January, when I kind of already was thinking A&M. So, like, everything was thrown for a loop, and I was like, what in the world do I do? And I went on all these visits, had good food, met good friends, good people, had like coaches want me. And that was a really cool feeling. And so I would tell everyone, go on these visits, enjoy your time, see if it's for you. 'Cause they're gonna pitch you on all the stuff, the jerseys, the things that are really cool. And it's a memories I look back on very fondly. And so talk to people. I also did this, which I thought was really good of me. I went on all my college visits, and then I went on a one last visit to A&M, and I remember that's the place I wanted to go, and that's why I went there. But I went and called people that like had done college football before and talked to them and be like, hey, how was it for you? Like, how'd you like it? Like, if you were PWO, how'd you like it? When you played this division football, like, how's your experience? And a lot of them just give it to you frank and tell you how their experiences is and kind of listen to them and understand them and be like, is that the life I want to live in college? Because a lot of people will be like, oh yeah, you can transfer in and out. Yeah, you can. but it's definitely harder, and you not might not get this college afterwards if you do one semester and you're like, I can't do this anymore, man. I can't do this anymore. And you see it all the time of like people that go play college sports, do it one semester and be like, I can't do this anymore, and then leave to another school. Just make sure that's not a bad opportunity, but make sure like that option's open too. Like, think about it. Think through your options because it's coming up to the second signing day. Think through your options. Think through what you would want to see your life in 4 years. And talk to your parents. Talk to God. That's it. That's what I would give my advice on that. So.
I think that is fantastic sage advice as old as time. Will anyone take it? I don't know. I
I
don't know if
don't
anyone's still listening. I don't know if people listen to us past the state championship. We're gonna figure out. But that being said, no, I completely agree. Very interested to see who ends up going where. Try and get that covered on some sort of a national signing day recap. But with that being said, we're gonna have to try and figure out. We always say we're gonna make the episode shorter, and I think we went at least an hour just having
Yeah.
literally two things to talk about. We'll tighten it up.
Yeah.
That's all I will promise.
I want to do one last thing. Literally, like one last thing, and then you can wrap it up. I want to talk award show, and I'm doing this so I can clip this and then put it on our socials as well. So that's why I'm doing this. The award show is going to be the 2025 award show. It is our fourth, fifth annual award show, maybe fourth, I think, officially. It's our fourth annual award show. We're going to do it the same exact way, the same amount of awards. It's going to be a great time. The thing we are going to change this year is we are not going to do finalists. It takes too long and the episode comes out too late to do finalists this year. We are not going to do finalists this year, but we still need all of your information. So please down below, DM us, tag us, and anything of your final stats and film of the season, please send that to us. The award show winners will be announced at the end of January in our own award show that will be found here. It's a very exciting time. The awards are going to be looking a little bit different this year because it's a very long and tedious process to get the awards out. We still don't have all of them out from last year, and that's on us. So we're trying to ship those out hopefully again this semester. But that's really it. Please send us all of your information. If you know of our socials, you know where to find them. They're down below. You know to find us on social, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Find us, email us all of your stats and information so we can get all of you and everyone that is deserved an award. So we do a long, long process. It's a lot of hard work. Even though we're not doing a finalist this year, it's a lot of hard work to sit down and decide who deserves everything. So we don't take this lightly. We know how much this means to y'all. We know how much this would mean to us. And yeah, so my pitch. Send us information about your season. Parents, send your kids information about this season. I think that's it. Am I missing anything, Wes?
No,
So.
send your stats in because if you don't and we don't know them, we don't pick you, you can't complain if you don't get on the list. Send your stats in. We will be eagerly awaiting them and finally getting the award show, probably out the fastest it has ever been done. But all that being said, that wraps up all the content for this episode. We'll be back in your feeds with the award show shortly, as well as maybe some film review following that. As always, I have been one third of your hosting crew. Walker Lott has fantastically been himself. Bob Dylan is there. He's the other third, in case you didn't pick up on that. We'll see you
Chalamet.
in the award show. See you later.